You're with Stateside. I'm Zoe Clark, and today for April Bear, we're going to revisit my conversation now with one of Michigan's favorite sons, Jeff Daniels. During the year of COVID, the acclaimed actor, playwright, and musician found a way to keep things interesting. He hosted a series of virtual concerts, and he released a new album called Alive and Well Enough. I spoke with Jeff earlier this year.
Hey there, America. I got some breaking news. Hey there, America. I got some breaking news. I got that President Trumpty Dumpty. What the hell you gotta lose?
Jeff Daniels, welcome back to Stateside.
Nice to be here.
So, I don't know about you, but I feel like everyone asks each other during the pandemic how they're doing, and no one really knows what to say. You know, like you say, oh, I'm okay, or I'm holding up. And then I heard the title of your album, Alive and Well Enough, and I sort of thought, that's the answer to how are you holding up.
It's been my answer, I'll tell you that. I've been more reclusive than J.D. Salinger. I am in a bunker and have been. And, you know, staying safe. And now we got new variants and maybe you're getting a vaccine. Maybe you're not. Depends on the day, which way the wind's blowing. I mean, we're still in the middle of it. So I'm alive and well enough kind of says it all.
And so that really has been sort of your response to this.
Yeah, many of us take it seriously. And this is what we have to do is stay inside, stay away from people as much as we can. Try to stop the spread of this thing, try to get on the other side of it. I wish we were doing better. I wish we were all taking it seriously. I don't know what it's going to take for some people to take it seriously, but in the meantime, I am. So, you know, stay away from me.
So you're in Michigan. What has it been like? I mean, you are a political observer, and then, you know, you take what you see and you put it into your acting and your music. What has it been like to see your state, Michigan, over the past year? I'm thinking whether it be guns at the Capitol back in April, a governor, you know, and this FBI and this hostage situation. You know, what has that been like to watch your state go through?
Well, we've always been a swing state for a reason. We're not one or the other. We're both. And we live next to each other. But that was when we could talk to each other. That was when Tip O'Neill and Ron Reagan could sit in a room and work something out. That was when Boehner and Obama almost did. And that's not the case anymore. And I look at it more as the Republican Party having to decide whether it wants to continue as one thing or the other deal with it. I think it's an in-house internal problem right now inside the Republican Party. You could see it coming as soon as Trump took over. And now guys like Rob Portman, who just said, I'm not coming back after 2022. Other guys, Jeff Flake, Bob Corker, others have just said, this is going in a direction I don't understand. And I think Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy and Liz Cheney and Josh Hawley, they all got to sit in a room and figure it out because it's not going to continue the way it is. It just won't. And I think there are a lot of Republicans that have to decide if they want to stay on this bandwagon or not. You know, so it's not just about your tax cuts anymore, folks.
And you're taking some of that thoughts. And I mean, you're like, you know, turning it into these themes. And one of the songs I want you to tell me a little bit about is Come a Little Closer. And that was written, in November 2016, right after Trump won?
Couple days after he won, it was a buckle up song. You could see it coming.
Once upon a time, long ago, poor old, I believed, got the old heave-ho. Remember to remember the Alamo, come a little closer to me. The apocalypse is coming, sorry, gotta run. The odds on tomorrow now are 2-1. Someone just said something about a setting sun. Come a little closer bubbles at the bottom of the deep blue sea, as Clark Gable said to Vivian Lee, come a little closer to me.
And then who knew what would happen over the course of those 4 years leading up to January 6th? Yeah, the album deals with a lot of that. Certainly Come a Little Closer to Me opens that. Trumpty Dumpty Blues is on there. That was me writing in April, a month into the pandemic, when he got on television and invited us all to attend Easter service with him. I just couldn't take it anymore. And I Am America is a song that I co-wrote with Thornetta Davis.
Let me live. Let me breathe.
That deals with the not only post George Floyd, but post Trayvon Martin, post Michael Brown, post Breonna Taylor. I mean, on and on and on and on. And then you read Isabel Wilkerson's book, Cast, and you go, this is 400 years. This is 400 years. And I think that's what's going on right now. We are dealing with or confronting, maybe once and for all, systemic racism. We'll see how we do.
Like I was raised to do. 'Cause I am America. We all deserve the right. We all deserve the right. The right to be free. Spare me your violence. Spare me your lies. Spare me the dark behind the light. It's time for peace. There's no time for hate. We must stop all this fighting before it's too late. Give me your tire.
I am tired.
Give me your pour.
But I am strong.
Give me your hand.
I'll be here.
And I will guide
you. 'Cause I know I belong.
Co-wrote the song, as you said, I Am America, with just Detroit's beloved blues singer Thornetta Davis. How did that come to be? Were you in Michigan? I mean, like, how does this work for musicians? You just call up your friends and go, man, this is intense. Let's jam. Like, give me some background.
I wrote it as a song of unity, as a song of no, everyone has worth. As human beings, we're really all just one human being on one planet. That's where it kind of comes from. And then I wanted Thornetta, and I sent it to her, and I said, anything you don't like, change. And so everything she sings on the song, she wrote. And we had her come out to Chelsea, and it's just a statement as, you know, we can be a new America. We really can. We have far less to fear from each other than some people think. We can be better by being inclusive. We can be smarter. We can truly be the greatest country in the world, as Will McAvoy argued, if we deal with things like this. And I Am America gives value to everyone who is walking in this country. And so that's kind of where it came from. And then Thornetta took it over and turned it into like a prayer. It really becomes her prayer of, please, all I ask of you is to give me my freedom. That's all I ask.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with acclaimed actor, playwright, musician, and Michigander, Jeff Daniels. He's got a new album out titled Alive and Well Enough. Jeff, you've been doing these virtual concerts. What's it like performing virtually, right? Like, I'm thinking of you in front of these huge audiences, whether it's Broadway or, you know, seeing you play at the Michigan Theater, and you have these humans feeding back what you're putting out there. You don't have that with these more intimate concerts. What's that been like as an artist?
It took a little bit, not a long time, a little bit of time to figure out, because I've done so many movies and TV. I mean, it's like working in front of a camera. The difference is you're looking right down the barrel of the lens. You're talking to one person sitting on the other side of that lens, either on their couch or, you know, in their living room or on their laptop, wherever. But you're playing to one or two people on their couch. That's the trick. And so you don't have to shoot it as far. You don't have to send it to the balcony of a performing arts center or, you know, even a 200, 300 seat club. I miss the back and forth, because I do talk to the audience and get them going, and then, you know, have a little fun with them and then slide into the next song. But I don't have that. So I pretend that the person that's sitting on that couch is listening and interested, and that they think I'm funny. That's all you need, is a little positive push forward, and then you can roll through the show and kind of, you know, entertain them on their couch. And that's the trick. That's the trick. And it's been fun to do. Certainly the travel is a lot easier. You know, we're doing it from our recording studio here at home with my sons. And, you know, I'm making the best of it. You can get a little more intimate, you know, you can deep tracks, as they say. You can play some stuff that you might not play if there were 300 people expecting to be entertained. You know, you can trust that maybe they'll handle this 10-minute story about Lanford Wilson and how the Pulitzer Prize winner handed you a poem called Road Signs, and it ended up being this song. You know, that you can go there and then play Road Signs. And if someone is truly interested in listening from their couch, they're still with you. So that the assumption is there, and versus the immediate feedback of yes, they are, or no, they aren't, or man, I'd really like to hear a funny song now, and you can kind of feel it. You don't have to pay any attention to that. You can kind of do what you want to do.
And Road Signs is part of Jeff Daniels, who we're speaking to right now, his new album, Alive and Well Enough. Jeff, are you writing right now? I mean, you're playing, you said you were filming, you had to stop. Are you being as prolific of a writer as you've been before during this period of time?
I've been asked to write a couple of things, an essay for this, or a Nora Guthrie called. She's doing a book about Woody, and she's having a bunch of people write introductions to certain chapters. So I was really honored to be asked to do that. It's mostly guitar work at this point. Certainly playing all these live streams, there's nobody else. It's just me and the acoustic. And you try to make that acoustic sound like a whole orchestra, you know, the low, the middle, and the high, if you're finger picking. And so I've been working, I've just been, you know, working on the next couple of musical ideas on the guitar that, of course, are far too complicated to play without practicing for 3 months. But I know they're good ones, so I'm going to stay at it. And that's kind of work, which is fun. That's a lot of fun for me, is to kind of, okay, here's a really good one that needs good lyrics, so don't just put anything on this. Meanwhile, try to learn how to play it. And that's kind of where I'm at.
And is this the same guitar from Herb David in Ann Arbor? Long gone Herb David, or are these new guitars that you're using?
I still have that. It was a Guild D40 that I bought for $400 out of Herb David in Ann Arbor, his guitar shop. And I bought a few of them from Herb. I still have it. It's not that guitar, but I still have it. It's hanging up.
I read something about during the pandemic, our dreams are getting weirder because we have less interactions like out in the world, right? And so our brains are coming up with things that maybe we haven't thought about for a dozen years. I wonder, as an artist who is writing songs, where are you getting songs from if you're not out in the world? I mean, obviously this latest album is political, so I assume you're getting it from Trump and D.C. just reading the lyrics. And there's some poetry in there, too. But what do you use for inspiration when you're on lockdown?
It is difficult because it's tricky. I'm not being very prolific right now. And I wonder if that's part of it. We're all dealing with the same thing. We're all in the same boat. And maybe that would be inspiring. So now you can write songs that everybody understands based on this thing that we're going through. Or there's nothing there. You're staring at a wall, you know, which is kind of what it feels like. So it's been tricky. I did write a little bit, and it was dealing with the pandemic, and then added some other songs that I thought fit the album. But I'm not writing anything new. Not quite sure why, but I'm not.
I think that's how a lot of folks are feeling right now.
Trying.
Before we let you go, I just want to ask, how is the Purple Rose Theater doing? You, of course, are the founder of this just magnificent theater in Chelsea. How's the theater holding up in the middle of the pandemic?
Well, we had a couple of really good years with the support from people for the theater and the box office. And so we were in a place where we could financially ride it out with a skeleton staff, which is what we're doing now, where we've retained the people that we're going to need to start over, basically. And it gives us a chance to kind of address some things that we want to do differently and just play selection, but also number of productions and try to set the Purple Rose up so that it can live well beyond me and Guy Sandville, that it's time that we get ready to pass it on. And it needs to be in a place where it can sustain itself without having a, you know, celebrity at the top of it. And that'll be what we're doing when we come back is kind of reprogramming for that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And we're all sending our love to the Purple Rose Theater, who the co-founder is Jeff Daniels, and his new album, which I believe, if you're okay with it, I'm going to steal when anyone asks how you're doing during the pandemic. Just say alive and well enough.
Plagiarism is the sincerest form of flattery. Steal away. Yes.
Jeff Daniels, thanks so much, man.
All right. Thank you, Zoe. Take care.
Support for arts and culture coverage on Stateside comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.
He's always right and he's never wrong. Always seemed to be where he don't belong. And just like that apple fell for Isaac Newton, so did Trump for Vladimir Putin.